Heavenly Father, in your grace, you have given us a glimpse into eternity, a glimpse of an eternity that is far too wonderful for us to comprehend in full. But we pray this morning that you would give us a glimpse of your goodness and a glimpse of what you have in store for us. And we thank you that we can only hope for these things because of what Jesus has done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. In 1999, a singer, Bart Millard, a lead singer in the Christian rock band known as Mercy Me, wrote a chart-topping hit called I Can Only Imagine, a song about heaven. Here, listen to these words. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. The song imagines heaven. And if you listen to it, it's quite clear that the author longs for heaven. He hopes for it. But behind the song is actually a story of pain and struggle, but joy and hope. In 2018, a movie came out actually telling the true life story of Bart Millard. And this trailer gives us a little glimpse into the life he had that led to the song. Let's just have a quick look.
It's an amazing song.
Just kind of happened. Took about 10 minutes, I guess.
Bart, you didn't write this song in 10 minutes. It took a lifetime. How'd you do this?
You know, I've never told anybody my story. When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
Where's Mama?
She's gone. She don't want me no more. And she don't want you neither.
And I've always loved music. And I found some songs that I held on to. They gave me hope.
Mercy me, that can't be his real voice.
Because I needed it.
Dad, I can do this.
No, you can't. And you're going to blink your eyes and you're going to realize that life has gotten you nowhere because you chased some stupid dream.
I can only... I'm leaving, Shan.
I want you to know that I pray for you all the time. And I hope that you find whatever it is that you're looking for out there.
What are you running from?
My dad.
Then write about it. Let that pain become your inspiration.
I have some stuff I need to sort out. And I deal with it the only way I know how. And that's to write a song.
You hungry?
I set the table.
What is this?
I want to make things right. You and me.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him.
You have a gift, real gift.
I didn't think that God could do that. And so I wrote this song for my dad.
Behind each of our longing for heaven, there's different stories. But we do as Christians long for the new creation, don't we? But what are we longing for? What will it be like? Remember last week we looked at the reality of heaven now in this present age. And remember that what heaven is now is not the same as what we are looking forward to in the age to come. In the age to come, when Jesus returns, we are looking forward to the new creation. See, the new creation is the culmination of all God's promises and all God's work through history to bring everything in heaven and earth under Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. And when Christ returns in all his glory, it will be the beginning of the age to come, an age of the new creation for eternity. And in the new creation, heaven and earth are united. Revelation 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. In one sense, the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, is a return to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 in the beginning. Heaven and earth in unity. God and man together in creation. No longer a schism, as Christopher Ashe we heard from last week. There's no longer a schism between heaven and earth. Remember the schism between heaven and earth, where heaven and earth are separated. God and man are divided. Heaven being the only place where God's glory is fully and perfectly reflected. But now there would be perfect unity. God's glory fully displayed in heaven and on earth. The Apostle John sees and writes this in verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light to it, and the Lamb is its lamp. Charles Hodge, a commentator and theologian, says, heaven will come down to earth, and both together will form one radiant entity, bright with the glory of God. See, the new creation is what God has always intended, where heaven and earth are united, one reality where his glory is perfectly displayed, uninhibited and unhindered. What was separated now in the new creation will be united. What was broken will be fixed. And in this unity, creation is going to be transformed, radically transformed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Revelation 21, verse 5, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. It's actually a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 65, 700 years before Christ came. God says, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. Now, new in this context doesn't mean entirely new and different, but rather renewed and refreshed. See, there will be continuity with the old. God will not destroy what he called good in the beginning when he first created it. There will be continuity, but it's going to be renewed and made glorious. Everything that we see in creation will be made new and glorious. A theologian, Anthony Hookemer, says this, in God's redemptive activity, he does not destroy the works of his hands, but he cleanses them from sin and he perfects them, so that they may finally reach the goal for which he created them. God cleanses and helps it to reach the goal for which it was created for. Remember in the flood where God cleansed the earth. Remember in our salvation through Christ how God makes us new. He doesn't get rid of us. He makes us new. Hookemer continues and says this, applied to the problem at hand, this principle means that the new earth to which we look forward to will be not be totally different from the present one, but will be renewal and glorification of the earth on which we now live. Friends, this means in this renewed creation, it will be glorious and recognizable. In this new creation, there will be no more thorns or thistles, no more floods or droughts, no more deserts or uninhabitable jungles, no more earthquakes or tornadoes, no more poisonous snakes, bees that sting, or mushrooms that kill. There will be a productive earth, an earth that will blossom and produce food abundantly for our enjoyment. The new creation will be renewed and refreshed. The new creation, too, will be a place of beauty and splendor. Listen to the description of the city. In verse 11, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of the very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. Verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold and as pure as transparent glass. Now, this is imagery language, but what we're meant to get is God saying this place is going to be awesome, more beautiful than you can ever imagine. And the size of this city, well, the size is unbelievable. Think New York, think London, Moscow, Cape Town, but 1,000 times bigger. It will take up the whole of Europe and Eastern Europe. It will be a huge city, and it will be beautiful, more beautiful than we can imagine or fathom. Outside the city, there will be a perfect creation, a beautiful creation. Think of the most beautiful place you've seen on earth. Think of that place where you stood and you just don't have words to describe. Maybe it's on top of Table Mountain. Maybe it's at Cape Point. Maybe you've had the privilege of seeing the Grand Canyon in all its glory. Well, that will be perfected. It'll be glorious. It'll be splendid. Unimaginable and unrivaled beauty, and all pointing to the glory of God. The new creation will be magnificent. It won't be unlike what we see now, but it'll be perfect and renewed and refreshed. But that's not all that's going to be new. We will be new people. See, creation will be transformed, and so will we. New people, deeply transformed. Transformed within and transformed without. Inwardly, our character and personalities will be perfected because we will be made like Christ. 1 John 3 verse 2 says it like this, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is." Friends, that means that all the sin and brokenness will be purged from us. We will be perfected in character. That means that our personalities, our intricacies will all be made perfect. I will no longer annoy my wife. We will be perfect. We won't be hindered by our guilt and our insecurities, but we will have a right view of ourselves, and we will have a right view of others. We will be deeply transformed inwardly. Outwardly, well, we'll have transformed bodies, new resurrected bodies. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15. "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." Our bodies will be perfected and fully transformed. You know what that means, friends? No more sickness. No more pain. No more losing our memory. No more struggling with hormones and weight loss. Someone's got to laugh at that. There will be none of that. We won't struggle with that. There will be no more unexpected illness. No more depression. No more anxiety. We won't be confused about who we are and what our place is in this world. We will be secure in our identity in Christ. But like the new heavens and the new earth, there will be continuity and discontinuity with our bodies. The bad will be gone and the good will remain, but it will be transformed. It means that we will be recognizable in the new heavens and the new earth, in the new creation. Because God will make us new, in continuity with the old. But there will also be continuity seen in our new life in creation. God's mandate in the beginning for us to rule the world will still stand. As his command for us, we will still nurture and look after the creation that he has made new. On the new earth, we will continue to work. We will learn. We will grow, we will play, we will develop, and we will accomplish things. Work though, will be without thorns. It'll be a great joy and to the glory of God. We will probably play sports. And no, your golf won't be better. It'll just be enjoyable. There's continuity with what God has made us now and what will be in the new creation. That's what God has done for us. But there will also be continuity in our worship. Although all of life is worship, there will be times when we gather in corporate worship of God in this great city. Our gathering as Christians weekly as the church is a pattern and a glimpse of that, of the new creation. Even in the Old Testament, there are festivals and celebrations that the people gather to Jerusalem to come and worship God in spirit and truth. In heaven, there will be times when we gather all the nations together and we worship God. Always. This is the New Testament vision of this gathering. In Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Friends, we will gather and we will rejoice and revel in all that God has done for us. And these gatherings will be a highlight for us. We will look forward to them when we gather together. We won't miss them for the world. Our holidays, our sports, our invitations to parties will not stop us. We will make it to the gathering of God's people as we worship before Him. And we will revel and we will rejoice in God. And you know why we will do that? Because we'll revel and rejoice because of the perfect relationship we have with God and with one another. Because in the new creation, relationships will be perfected. Listen again to verse 3. Look, God's dwelling place or home is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What was once fractured and broken is now restored. God and man living together in perfect harmony and intimacy. We will love God perfectly, like He deserves, with all our heart and our mind and our soul. We will glorify Him perfectly as He deserves in the way we act and speak and live, in the way we treat one another, in the way we treat His creation. We will love God perfectly. And God, well, He's just going to continue doing what He's always done. Loved us perfectly, faithfully, and in perfect love. This is a glorious picture of perfect relationship in the new creation. We will be with God, and He will be with us. We will love Him and be loved perfectly. And He will wipe away every tear. All the tears related to death and the brokenness of this life will be wiped away. This picture is profoundly intimate. It's a picture of a father who has his child on his knee and who wipes away the tears, who embraces. When my little boy runs around, inevitably he tries to run too fast and he falls over. And inevitably it's on the pavement, so there's grazes. He cries. He comes to me. He sits on my lap. And as I hug him and as I wipe away those tears, his tears change from pain to joy. See, this is what it's going to be like. When we finally enter into glory, God will wipe away our tears. All the pain of this life, all the broken relationships, all the heartache, all the parent-child relationships that have gone wrong. He will wipe away all the tears. We'll be loved by God perfectly, and we'll love him. But you know what? We're also going to love one another perfectly, because society and relationships will be transformed. We will serve one another perfectly, and we will love one another as God has created us to love one another. Our relationships will be free from sin and impurity, from shame and deceit and guilt. They will be built on love and truth. And we will be closer than we can ever imagine, knowing each other completely and intimately. We will love and enjoy each other for eternity. See, relationships will be perfected and enjoyed forever in the new heaven and the new earth. Everything will be deeply transformed, and heaven will be on earth. And the great news is, well, this will be for eternity. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We will reign in eternity in the new creation. Friends, don't you long for the new creation? Don't you long for the new creation? As we dwell on and think of the new creation as Christians, I think we will inevitably want to praise and glorify God. To praise him for what he's done and for what he is doing. Just think about it for a moment. God has been working towards this new creation since the beginning. This is not something new. He's been working towards it. He's preparing a place where he will live with us forever, a perfect place with perfect relationships. And how did he do this? Well, it came at a cost for him. He sent his son to deal with the brokenness of this world so that he could restore it. He sent his son to deal with sin, Satan, and death. Why? So that we could be included in the new creation. Jesus died for us so that we could be given eternal life with God. And all the while God has been doing this throughout history, we didn't deserve it at all. In fact, we deserve the opposite, to be banished from God's presence. And yet, throughout history, God's been working all things for his glory and towards the new creation. All the people that he's redeemed will be with him. That's what God has been doing. And that's why we as Christians glorify and praise God, because he is bringing about the new creation. Oh, how I long for that day when we will see Jesus face to face. And we will see him in God's presence, in his perfect glory. And we will sing and we will glorify and we will praise God because of all that he has done. For when we see him face to face, we will see everything as it really is. We will see the depth of our sin that he died for us. We will see the depth of the brokenness of this world rejecting God. And it will all be made new. And we will be given every reason to sing his praises and bring glory to him in our lives forever and ever and ever. In fact, the scriptures give us a glimpse of the reality that we will never fully grasp. We will just keep seeing more and more and more of God's glory. We will glorify him in song. We will glorify him in our work, in our play. We will glorify him in all things. As we dwell on this new creation as Christians, it also gives us hope and joy, doesn't it? It gives us hope and joy. Because when we look at the new creation, what becomes very apparent is the brokenness of this world, the relationships that have broken, the pain of our bodies decaying, the tears that we have in the constant battle of life, the crime that we have to endure around us, the corruption that wears us down in heart and spirit, our own sin that eats away at us, our own sin of neglecting those around us, of thinking that we are better than them, our heartache in death and the losing of loved ones, But for the Christian, for those who believe in Christ, we have hope of the new creation, where all our sin and pain and suffering will be done away with. And we will be reunited with our loved ones for the glory of God. There will be no more tears and pain and brokenness. And so we as Christians can soldier on now because of the hope that is secured for us in heaven. The hope that is secured through Jesus Christ. We can soldier on. Friends, I may not know you here this morning. You may be visiting. And even for those who are regulars, do you have this type of hope? This hope of the new creation? Jesus says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." Friends, if you don't have that hope this morning, that hope is on offer through what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, his death and his resurrection. The offer of eternal life and salvation is in Christ alone, and it's offered to you. We long for the new creation, don't we? I pray that you too would long for the new creation. And as Christians, we all often pray this prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus," because when he returns, all the brokenness will be taken away. When he returns, all the wickedness will be dealt with. When he returns, he will restore righteousness to the earth. When he returns, he will come and wipe away our tears. But as we pray that prayer, there's a tension, isn't there? Come, Lord Jesus. There's a tension because when Jesus comes, then the time is up. The offer of the new creation in the presence of God, the time is up. And so as Christians, we pray, "Lord, come." But at the same time, we must also go. We must pray for those who do not know Jesus and do not know the hope of the resurrection and the new creation to come. We should pray for those who reject God, whether they are our neighbors, our friends, our family, our work colleagues. And we must tell them. We must tell them of the hope of heaven to come, of the new creation, where all of the rubbish that we have to endure day in and day out around us in this world, it'll be gone. And we will rest for eternity with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for giving us a glimpse of what's to come. And although we only see in part, we long for the fullness that comes from what you have done for us. And oh Lord, why you would do such a thing for us. The people who rejected and despised you, you came and died so that we can have life eternal. Life eternal in the new creation, where we will glory in you, you will be glorified in us, and we will revel in your glory forever and ever. Lord, we long for that day when we will see you face to face, where we will see and we will know like we've never known before. And we'll be found, we'll be home, and we'll be yours forevermore.